2 Timothy 4 from verses 3 to verse 5. Last week's message I had titled, The Charge to Preach the Word. And today it turns to not enduring sound doctrine. Now, there is a reason for everything. God has a reason for everything. Things that happen in our life, they all happen for a reason. It's commonly said, even in the world, that everything happens for a reason. But people put other names to it. They put karma to it, as in, oh, you get what you deserve. You did something and karma will pay you back. The problem is, they're borrowing a principle from God and putting it to the world. And so that's false. There's nothing like karma. There's only God's truth and His principles. But what I'm saying in this passage, and beginning in verse 1 in chapter 4, where he says, I charge you to preach the word of God. Preach the word, be instant, be ready, in season, out of season. And then he says, why? He says, for, in verse 3, it starts with the word for. He says that because of what he just said. Preach the word in season, out of season. And then verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It was an encouragement and a push to Timothy to preach the word now because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Looking at it in that regard, you could think that, oh, so when people don't listen and endure sound doctrine anymore, when there's many that are not listening anymore, then we will just quit preaching the truth. No, that's not what he means. He does not mean that we should not preach the truth if nobody wants to hear it. We have the verse in Ezekiel where God says that to preach to them, if they hear or if they forbear, if they listen or if they don't, to preach anyway. There are times where God tells us to go preach to someone, tell them the truth of God's word, if they hear or if they don't, because God wants the word to be given. And then God follows up on His word. That's the way God works many times. It is not just that, oh, God brings judgment and nobody has said anything. You look throughout the Bible, God always sent someone to warn. God always sent someone to say, this is what's going to happen. I mean, generally, always. And then they still didn't listen, and then God sent the judgment. The way it was in Nineveh, God told Jonah that I will destroy that place because they are so wicked. And Jonah went to preach and said, God's going to destroy this place. And then there was repentance. And then God did not destroy the place at that time. According to historical records, it didn't take very long, not more than a generation or something like that, until they were back to as wicked as they had been before. And then God did judge the place. But there was a pushing back. There was a delay in judgment because there was repentance. So even though judgment came on their sin, there was a delay because of repentance. So there is a time to preach the word of God when it's being received, when it is the right time, when it is a good time. The principle is also in the scripture, and Jesus said it, that when he told the disciples when they preach and nobody receives them to then shake off the dust from their feet and leave and move to the next town. So there are principles in every area. And the encouragement here for Timothy to preach is because there are still many who are listening to sound doctrine. Well, he's using the word endure. Why? Because to the believer or the unbeliever alike, to hear the truth of God in its pure form, unadulterated, is many times uncomfortable. We have things in our life that are not perfect. And then you hear the word of God and it convicts, it cuts, it draws to God and His truth. And then it's uncomfortable. And we have to somewhat endure even while we make changes, even while we decide that, okay, I was wrong in this area, I'm going to correct it. There is a part of enduring, even for believers, enduring the Word of God, not in the way that it's hard to hear. The believer loves the truth of God's Word, but it's still sometimes a partially enduring because it can still be hard to hear things that go against our lifestyle. So he's saying the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time that the Apostle Paul referred to was in the future from when the Apostle wrote, but it quickly came. This is what has been most of history. Most of history, it has been that people would not endure sound doctrine. It was the same in the time of Israel, that many times they would not endure sound doctrine. They wanted to kill the prophets, and they did. They killed the prophets that God sent to them because they could not endure sound doctrine. It's not something new. It wasn't something new for the Apostle Paul, but I think in the time that he was writing it, there was more openness for the gospel. But at the same time, there was also persecution, but there were still many who were listening. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, do it now, make the word of God ingrained in everyone's heart and life now that they're listening, now that you can. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How does he know this? Well, first of all, because it's inspired by God, he knows this. But also because it was also historically true. The Israelites would never endure for a long time, and then they would go and grumble and complain and run away from God. And Moses went away for 2 days, and they would be going to ask Aaron to build them a golden calf to pray to. It could not endure for even a few days. Such is the human nature, sinful beyond what we can perceive, sinful beyond what we can understand. That's the human nature. But that's why when a person is born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, 1 Peter says, when a person is born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, there is something new. There is something different. There is something changed that now endures the Word of God, even when it conflicts with some of his life, he still endures it. Paul had told Timothy earlier in the book, in chapter 1, verse 13, that he is to hold fast the form of sound words. Not because Timothy won't do it, but as an encouragement, because many won't. There's pressure when you believe there is something that this is the truth of God's word and you see that most people are disregarding it. There's a pressure to give in and say, well, I guess it's not that important. Yes, I believe this is the truth from the word of God, but so many people do differently, think differently, are okay differently, says you're just a legalist, you're doing something wrong, you're overthinking stuff. You don't need to take the Bible so importantly or so that it's so important. And so you think that, well, I guess since there's so many who think like that, they're probably right. I should just chill. I should just settle down and be okay with sinful lives. Paul told Timothy, first of all, to hold fast. And now he tells him to endure. He had already told him that before too. But then he says, because there are many who will not endure. So it's an encouragement to Timothy to preach the word, to endure, to hold fast while everyone else is not enduring. Not everyone else, because they still were. But he said the time is coming, and it shortly did, where they would not endure. Now, this is not about falling away from the faith. If you look throughout the New Testament, not falling away from the true faith, if you look throughout the New Testament, this idea comes up over and over again of apostasy. Someone who claims Christianity, someone who claims the faith, but it's not real. We'll look in Mark chapter 4. Turn with me if you have your Bible ready. Turn to Mark chapter 4. And we'll look at a parable that Jesus spoke. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We see some different responses here. There's only one that responds with endurance, and they bring forth fruit. The others do not endure. The first one, it says, fell by the wayside. The first seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and just ate it up, and the ground didn't receive it at all. There was zero endurance. The second one fell on stony ground. It sprang up very suddenly. It's like something is growing. Yeah, looks good. Something is growing. But the sun came out, and it got scorched, and it withered away. Very, very short-lived. It just sprang up, and then it withered away. As quick as that. No endurance. Then we have a third. Sounds a little bit more like there could be some endurance. Some ground, but also some thorns. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You see, it's taking a little bit longer now. First, the one that fell on the stones sprang up, the sun came out, and it withered away. Now, this last one, it grew up, but then the thorns grew up. It took some time and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other, verse 8, fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So we have a perfect example here of which one endures the truth. Which one endures the words of Jesus? Which one endures when the seed is sown and it actually grows up? The one on good soil. Some will take these passages and tell you that you need to cultivate your soil and make sure that it's good so that there will be fruit. That's not what I'm going to say. I'm going to say you need to investigate what is your fruit to figure out, is there seed planted in good soil? Is there seed planted in good soil that is not corruptible, but from the incorruptible word of God? Has it been implanted in your heart that there is now fruit? The Bible says we are to look at fruit. Some will say that, yes, look at the parable of Jesus. What is your heart made up of? Are you doing things that make it to be stone and it takes some of the word of God and leaves some of it? Or you have thorns in your heart that you need to work on. No, this example is not of someone who's getting salvation and losing it, who has salvation and then the thorns come and then it gets removed. No, this parable has four different examples. The one by the wayside, the one on the stony ground, the one among the thorns, and the good ground. And there's only one that ever brings fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. There's only one that ever brings fruit. You see the same example in John chapter 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The branch that bears fruit, God will prune it, Jesus will prune it, that it will bring forth more fruit. But the branch that doesn't bring forth any fruit will be cut off. The example is a good addition to what Paul is saying in not enduring sound doctrine. Who are the ones who don't endure sound doctrine? Those who do not have good soil. Who are the ones who do not have good soil? The ones who are not saved. They merely make a profession of faith. See, there's multiple angles that we should think of. One is, where can we be the most effective in preaching the Word of God? Where there is good soil, right? When there's good soil, don't stop preaching the Word in season, out of season, to the preachers of the Word of God. Don't stop wanting to hear the Word of God to those who receive the Word of God. This is an ordinance of God that God uses to grow His people and to grow His church. Do it while they endure sound doctrine, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, a lot of this goes by generation. And God also worked, we see that also in the Old Testament, when Caleb and Joshua and the 10 other spies went to spy out the land of Canaan, God said that only Caleb and Joshua from that generation would enter into Canaan. Even though, yes, they were, almost all of them were unbelievers, even though in the new generation there probably were many unbelievers, but God said it is a new generation where I will reward those who have faith, and many others will also reap benefits of it. Even though in many places there's only a few believers, there are still many who reap the benefits. In Hebrews, where we have the in Hebrews 11, where we have the many men and women of faith, it says towards the end in verse 34, 35, 36, they had trials of cruel mockings, they were stoned, they were cut apart, they were tempted, they were killed. And then it says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. There are those who endure and those who do not endure. Those who endure, God says the world is not worthy of them. Why? Because God blesses the world through those who have faith. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, God told Abraham, if I find five with faith, was it 10? Was 10 the lowest number? I think he went to 5. With faith, I will not destroy the whole city for these few people's sake. God is blessing many for the faith of a few. Now, all of this to say that we should personally examine ourselves, and I think that's part of what this passage is for, to the believers, that we examine ourselves to see that we are in the faith, because we cannot ride on the faith of someone else. We cannot ride on the faith of our parents. Oh, my parents were such faithful Christians, therefore I'm also now a Christian. I don't need to do anything for it. I don't need to work for it. I can live in my sin, but they were such good Christians, I'm sure it passes on to me. No. You may receive many blessings because your parents are Christians, but at the end, God will still say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of sin, worker of iniquity. Because this faith needs to be personal. This faith needs to be personal. You cannot go on the faith of someone else. It says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, which has been through almost all of history and is again now today. But thank God there are still places where the sound doctrine is endured, but there are many in this world who do not endure sound doctrine. You look at Hebrews 6 and you have a similar idea of apostasy. It says, it is impossible for those, Hebrews 6 verse 4, who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's apostasy. Those who claim to be Christians and then eventually they turn away and want nothing more to do with Christ. It says it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. They claimed something that they didn't have, and then they go to mock it. And God will not be mocked. They did not endure, they will not endure sound doctrine. They have itching ears, and what do? They heap to themselves teachers. They go looking for teachers. Why? Because they want to satisfy their itching ears. They want to be told, oh, you are so strong, you can do it. They want to be told that they are nice people. They want to be told that they can have forgiveness without any repentance. They want to be told that they can enter heaven without any fruit. They want to be told they can have peace with God without working for any peace with man. In other words, they can love God while they hate their neighbor. They want to be entertained by teachings that will produce pleasant sensations and leave them with good feelings about themselves. They want God's blessings, but they don't see the need for His forgiveness. They want God's salvation, but they don't want repentance. They don't want to hear about repentance. That's what itching ears are. Professing believers, nominal Christians, Christians in name only, they will go and heap to themselves. You see what the problem here is? It's not firstly the false teachers. It's firstly those who want the false teachers. Sometimes we think that, oh, what if a good, solid preacher would go to Joel Osteen's church and preach the gospel to them? You know what they would do? They would kick him right out. It is the people who want their ears tickled. A good gospel message is good, but it's only effective where God makes it effective. And you know what? God said in Jeremiah 3 verse 15, I will give you shepherds, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I want you to see something. God is sovereign. God ordains all things that come to pass. God also ordains where there are God-fearing pastors of the Word of God. You know what God says? I will give you pastors, shepherds, according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The opposite of that, people hoarding to themselves teachers who would tickle their ears. The one is a trust in God, and God says, I will give you, And the other is, no, I want what my flesh wants. I will take what I want. So we can see it as a judgment of God when God lets people pick for themselves the teachers that they want to hear to tickle their itching ears. We can see that as a judgment from God because they're not hearing the gospel. They're not hearing life-changing good news about Jesus. All they're hearing is, you're such a nice person. Just claim that this week will be better than last week. Just claim that this week you will be rich. Just claim that this week you will be healthy and you can start to feel something good in yourself. But that is opposite from the gospel. The gospel says we have nothing good in ourselves. We have a great need for someone who is good, and that one is met in Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, we have an inner peace that we can have in Christ. The more we realize how no good we are in ourselves, the more we appreciate the good that Jesus is for us. That is the heart of the gospel. We have no good while He has everything good. James says, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. So we don't have no good, but God has it all. They have itching ears. Now, we should examine ourselves, everyone personally. Am I in the faith? Would I rather be going somewhere where they tickle my ears, or would I rather have the Word of God even though it convicts me sometimes? You know, this is nothing new. In Jeremiah 5, verse 30, it says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. You see anything different there? People will bring together and heap together after their own lusts, teachers who would tickle their itching ears. And it was the same in Jeremiah. It is the same in Isaiah 30, verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers or the prophets, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. They tell their prophets what to say. Don't tell us the truth. Tell us smooth things. Tell us deceit. Tell us something that will sound nice, that will make us feel good. That's the same as what Paul is saying. They will not endure sound doctrine. Well, they did not endure sound doctrine there either. In Micah 2, verse 11, if a man walk in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of his people. You see that today. People come with stuff that people want to hear. Oh, I will have a Bible study where we can drink alcohol and get drunk. And all of a sudden, a lot of people like the Bible study. And then others will have, now, again, God is the final judge, but they will have cigars and people will get high, but at least they have a Bible study. Now, I think a lot of that is fleshly. I think a lot of that is ungodly. But again, God judges the motives and the hearts. God is the final judge. I just wouldn't go to such a Bible study, but if someone has a Bible study, God uses it, may He use it. We will not say God cannot use such a Bible study. He can. But what I'm saying is, look in Micah 2, verse 11 that I just read. If a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall be the prophet of the people. Why? Because he's appealing to the flesh. All of a sudden, the people say, yeah, this is our prophet. Because he's acting like they would like him to act. He is speaking the way that they would like to feel and do. Do things according to the flesh is what they want. And so, for the believers, we need to be careful of what we like to hear. Things that just appeal to our flesh are things that may convict us sometimes. It says, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is very common. They will go to many, not just one. Oh, I found my teacher. I'm good. No, they will go to more and more and more because the more things they can hear for their flesh, the better. They will heap to themselves teachers, never satisfied with one, but they'll go for more and more and more because they want to hear all the different things that will appeal to their flesh. They're confused. They are indiscreet. They cannot make right choices. They don't have discernment. They only go after their own lusts. They choose to hear such as those that will let them indulge themselves in their sinful lusts and not say anything against it. Or such as live in the same lifestyle as themselves, the same corrupt mindsets, in opposition to the doctrine of faith. And then it says they will be turned unto fables. They will not endure sound doctrine. Verse 4, they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the order in which it goes. And that's how it works with all things biblical. We say sometimes nothing happens overnight. And that's true in apostasy as well. That's true in sin as well. You see, in some Christian circles, and they have a preacher who commits adultery, and it was just an accident, and 2 weeks later the person is preaching again. They've sufficiently covered it up, and now he can go preach again. No, things like that do not happen overnight. That person is disqualified, and it would take a long time to prove himself that he is qualified again. I'm not saying such a person can never be qualified again, but it will take a long time of proving that he is qualified again. He cannot just be unfaithful to his wife and then go and preach about faithfulness in the church. No, he would have to step down. He would have to be examined for a long time, be found faithful before he could be put back in the church. And the elders should do that, the elders in the church. What I'm saying is, the principle that is again brought out here is they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It happens in steps and it happens in order. They don't endure sound doctrine. It's starting to become hard and difficult to keep on listening to sound doctrine. They start heaping together teachers wherever they find them, nowadays online, having itching ears. Then they start turning away their ears from the truth. It's just too hard to bear. And they just turn all out unto fables. That is apostasy for you. Someone who claims the truth and then eventually is turned entirely unto a lie, entirely to myths. Apostasy. We need to be careful of that, not in that if you have the incorruptible seed of the Word of God implanted in your heart that you will go astray. But we need to be careful in that among those that are among us, there are not those, like the writer of Hebrews says, who have a heart of unbelief and then will go astray. We need to keep exhorting one another daily as long as it is called today, as Hebrews says. Exhorting that we examine ourselves to see that we are in the faith, that we have the fruit of the Spirit, that we follow Christ, that we become more like Christ, and that we grow in our walk with Him. It is sometimes said, and I think it is true, because the Bible makes it clear that a believer will be sanctified. It is sometimes said that if you only remain in the same place as a Christian, then you go backwards. I think if you only remain the same place as a Christian, there is no sanctification, then there you're not a Christian. The problem is, though, that we do not have a time limit. We cannot say, okay, we will give you 2 years, and if there's nothing different in your life, you're not a Christian. You're out. No, God's timeline is not like ours. But for ourselves, we need to look at our lives and say, are there things that are changing? Are there things where we're growing in understanding? Are there things where we're growing in godliness? Because God will sanctify those whom He loves. Sanctification is part of that golden chain of redemption. Those who are foreknown by God are predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? Those who are foreknown by God will be sanctified. They will become more like Christ. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." That's the big question today. If you examine yourselves, don't you know that Christ is in you? Otherwise, you'll be found to be a reprobate in the end. If you come to church and live a good life, but you haven't been born again, you will end up in hell. Have you not looked? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. This is not to say today that if you don't have Christ, you're reprobate. No. But do you not care? You're not sure if you have Christ and you don't care? You don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. Seek Christ today while you have time, because you don't know if you will have tomorrow. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. He was buried and He rose again, that whoever believes on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Our trust cannot be in ourselves. If you think, oh, I can try to live a better life tomorrow, next week I will try to be better. I will try to live in such a way that pleases everyone. God won't say, oh, now you're talking. No, God is saying, have you seen your sin? Have you seen your need for a Savior? 2 Corinthians 7 says that there is a pressing sin, a pressing need for a Savior. I'm saying it in other words, but it says godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Godly sorrow. Do you have that? Have you had that? Do you see your need for a Savior? He died to save sinners. If you trust in Him, you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are true, you are faithful, your word is 100% true. Thank you that we have these exhortations to examine ourselves, to see if we are enduring, even with hard words sometimes, words that we don't like, our flesh doesn't like, but that we sit down and ask, is this true? Am I just convicted and don't like it because my flesh wants to sin? And Lord, that you would help us to repent of those things. Help us to correct what is wrong. Help us to trust you more, to serve you better, and to become more like Christ, the way you have ordained for those who are in Christ. We thank you. We ask for your blessing today on each one who is here. Help us to be faithful witnesses for you, and help us to grow in our walk with you. Lord, if there's anyone here who has not been saved, I pray that you will draw, you will convict, you will show this person the need for a Savior, the need to call on Christ to be saved. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.